Dear Heavenly Father, most holy, just, righteous Lord, I thank Thee, Lord, for this day, for the freedom to come here today, Lord, for Thy Spirit that has bidden Thy children to be here. I pray, O Lord, that in this hour, that Thou would be pleased to exalt Thy name. For Lord, Thou knowest the passage Thou hast given me is not one that I readily want to preach. But Lord, knowing it is Thy Word, I pray, Lord, that we see Thy Son high and exalted in this passage today. Lord, temper the zeal that is in me this hour, and temper it with Thy love. And Lord, may Thy sheep be fed. May Thy name be glorified above all other names. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. One of the things that the people of God have in common, their common salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ, a common life against the three-headed enemy. We struggle so much against our own indwelling sin in the flesh, against this world and its allurements, and against the prince of the power of the air. I tremble when I have a message like this because a great deal of time will be spent on talking about him. And that bothers me. It bothers me because if left to me, I'd say we shouldn't even speak of him. But he is a real enemy. He is a mighty enemy. And he works in many ways. Many ways to prey upon our flesh, to prey upon our fallen nature, with one thing in his mind. If he could, to throw down the Lord Jesus Christ off his throne. We all, being the children of God that are called by His name, that are called out of a way that we once walked, still have this common enemy. I stand so humble today because I acknowledge that that enemy, Satan, is much stronger than I am. And I acknowledge that my Lord is much stronger than I am. But also, praise be to God, He is stronger than the enemy. The passage we have today, which is another thing that causes me trepidation because it's a long passage. And I'd like for you to turn with me to 2 Kings, not a place we spend a lot of time, but I pray this morning. You know, it's a blessed thought, it's a blessed meditation, it's a blessed life when the Lord Jesus Christ arrests you. When He opens up His Scriptures, the New Testament, that speaks of Him, we can look at the red words, we can say, these are the words of my Lord, and we can readily understand them even, but not understand them fully, or even begin to understand the depth without His Spirit illuminating. But then as you go to the Old Testament, you start to see that all of those words testify of Him. And all of the words that were spoken and all of the things that the saints of God went through then is the same struggle we have today. That's what this passage is. We're going to spend some time speaking this morning about the struggle in Hezekiah's life. If you turn with me to 2 Kings 18, and in chapter 18, we're going to skip around. I mean, we're going to go in order, but we're not going to cover every verse. Because as I said, there's a lot to cover today. I pray the Lord gives me the strength, the clarity of mind, and most importantly, that as the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 6, that we all be of the same spirit in the Lord Jesus Christ this day. He reveals to you the threat of this enemy, because he's real. We begin in 2 Kings 18, and the first thing I want you to see in the life of Hezekiah is verse 3. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that David his father did. If you read the book of Kings, you will go on a roller coaster. You will go to the heights of where the Lord led a king who walked after the ways of him, and then you will go down into many one or two wicked kings who turned their back on the Lord. Then the Lord would send His mercy and He would send them a king that was, as we see here with Hezekiah, he did according all that that David his father did. So we're told something about Hezekiah first. And in verse 5 it tells us something even more about him. He trusted in the Lord God of Israel. So that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. For he clave to the Lord and departed not from following him, but kept his commandments which the Lord commanded Moses. How? How does one do all of this, Hezekiah? How is it that you back then, before Christ was ever came in on the scene, before he was ever incarnate, did you have something different? Well, verse 7 tells us no. And the Lord was with him. He conquered, he lived, he was a Christian because of the life of Christ. He was one of God's anointed because of the life of Christ, because the Lord was with him. And he prospered whithersoever he went forth. So the first thing we see about Hezekiah that we have to understand this morning, and he was a heaven-born soul. He was a child of God and he was a king. That's very important. Because where we're going to go next, you're going to think, maybe he wasn't. But this is our life, dear ones. This is the assaults of the wicked one. Hezekiah, we're told that the Lord was with him. He walked with the Lord. The Lord was his life. So something has been done in Hezekiah. We're told in verse 11, just by passing, that this... Oh, well, let's finish verse 7. And he rebelled against the king of Assyria, and he served him not. All through this passage today, the king of Assyria is representing Satan. He is the one that the Lord would raise up, and all of his attacks you're going to see are common. You're going to see, hopefully, you will see that there are attacks that have come in your life. You will see the ins and outs of how Satan works, how he came to this heaven-born soul, and how he kept coming and kept coming and kept coming. And you're going to see the power that Hezekiah had. And you're going to see, Lord willing, what it is that the child of God can do in these hours. So we're told that the Lord was with him. And because the Lord was with him, because the Lord dwelled in him, he rebelled against the king of Assyria. He rebelled against him and he said, I will serve you not. Now later in verse 11, we're told that that same king has already carried away Israel. He's already carried away the major bulk of the tribes, 10 of them. They serve him. They're gone. They've been carried away. This is the power of this king. Then we come to verse 13. Because now it's time for the assaulter to turn his attention to the child of God. We're not told anything about Israel. We're not told who their king was at this time. We were earlier. But it was one who did not walk after the ways of the Lord. And now the assault will come. And in verse 13 it says, now in the 14th year of King Hezekiah did Sennacherib, that's the name of the king of Assyria, come up against all the fenced cities of Judah, and he took them. Immediately, all these little cities and communities that laid outside of Judah, Sennacherib come in and he took every one of them. And all that Judah now can see with their eyes, as they see the oppression of this one now who has taken over all of their outside lying communities. And they're going to see a mighty, mighty king come up, and they're going to see a mighty bunch of enemy come up, and it's going to surround them, all the people in Judah. And the very first thing that Hezekiah does, we're told in 14, and don't you dare cast a stone. Because this is what we are. This is when fear grips us. When we look around and we see a fearful situation, immediately Hezekiah confers with flesh and blood. And Hezekiah, king of Judah, sent to the king of Assyria, to Lachish, saying, I have offended. What? We're just told over here that you walked after the ways of the Lord, that the Lord was with you, that you rebelled against Satan, that you rebelled and said, no, I will not serve you, Satan. But yet, in the very first attack, and it's attack of fear, and it's attack of the fear comes, and you see the situation, and you say, wow, this is hard. You know what I'll do? I'll placate Satan. I'll tell Satan, I'll walk with you for a time, because it looks to be so improbable. It looks to be, I have no strength to fight you, Satan. So you know what? I'll join you. So what is it? I've offended you, Satan. Return from me that which thou putteth on me will I bear. And the king of Assyria appointed unto Hezekiah, king of Judah, 300 talents of silver and 30 talents of gold. That's all you need to do. You pay me these and I'll flee from you. Does he say that to you? Have you experienced that in your life, that when Satan comes, if you commune with Satan, the words seem to be, they're grievous, but they also have a light at the end of the tunnel. And that light is, if I just pay this wage, if I just do this, it'll go away. Do we do that? Do we reason? All throughout this, you're going to see carnal reason. We look at the situation in our life, we look at it, and we say, I know how to get out of that. And this is all I have to do that. And this is the way Satan works. He belittles the sin. He looks at the sin and he makes it go, it's not that bad. It's really not that bad. Just pay your 300, pay your silver, pay your gold, I'll flee from you. Okay? Hezekiah says, all right, that's what I'll do. And Hezekiah gave him all the silver that was found in the house of the Lord and in the treasures of the king's house. At that time did Hezekiah cut off the gold from the doors of the temple of the Lord and from the pillars which Hezekiah, king of Judah, had overlaid, and gave it to the king of Assyria. Can we serve two masters? Can we? My Lord said, you'll hate the one and serve the other and love the other. You'll love the one and hate the other. But this is a child of God. This is a child of God right in the moment of the heat of the battle. When Satan comes to him, there's a moment of weakness. There's a conferring with self. You know, I can get out of this. I can get out of this. All I've got to do is do this. Well, let's see if he gets out of it. And the king of Assyria sent Tartan and Rabsaris and Rabshakeh from Lachish to King Hezekiah with a great host, 185,000 to be exact. I gave him the silver and I gave him the gold, but now he sends all of these. And they went up and came to Jerusalem. And when they come up, they came and stood by the conduit of the upper pool, which is in the highway of the fuller's field. And when they had called to the king, they called out to Hezekiah, there came out to them Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, which was over the household, and Shebna, the scribe, and Joah, the son of Asaph, the recorder. So Hezekiah doesn't come out. He sends his envoy. He sends his people that represent him. It wasn't common for the king to come out against the enemy. You wouldn't do that. So he sent his people under him, and they came out, and Rabshakeh said unto them, speak ye now to Hezekiah. Because Rabshakeh comes as one of the servants of Satan, And he comes with a message. Now, what is that message? That message is, you've served me, you've given me what I want, now I'm going to go away? No, look how he comes back again. The wages of sin is death. The wages of walking in the ways and communing with flesh and blood is death. And he comes and he says, thus saith the great king, the king of Assyria. What confidence is this wherein thou trustest? You been there? I have. I say, well, I've been taught the scriptures. I know what they are. I just got to resist the devil and he'll flee from me. And the devil's not fleeing. And I'm resisting. I mean, I'm telling him things. I'm saying this is what the scriptures say and this isn't happening. So what's going wrong here? And then all of a sudden, Satan's voice is coming into my mind and it's saying, what confidence do you have? What confidence do you have in your king? What confidence do you have in the Lord Jesus Christ? Did He die for you? Did He really die for you? And that efficacious blood that flowed from His side, did that flow for you? What do you have your confidence in today? When Satan comes, is your confidence in your carnality of knowledge? Is it in your strength? Is it in your doctrine? Now listen to these words in 20. Thou sayest, but they are vain words. This is the message or messenger of Satan. I have counsel and strength for the war. That's what you say. You say you have God's counsel around you. You say that you have strength for the war. Now on whom do you trust that thou rebellest against me? And all of a sudden, if we're given to see the power of Satan, if we're given to see the minions that he has, if we're given to see the height and the depth of how strong this enemy is, and all of a sudden we don't feel too strong anymore. And I always remember the fight between Pilgrim and Apollyon and what a battle it was. And we know that the only way that one was slayed was with the power of the sword of the Spirit. You see, we can't just say it's a sword. It's the sword of the Spirit. It's the Spirit that brings the Word of God to your soul. It's the Spirit that brings the Word of God to your mind, to your will, to your soul, to say, no. No, I won't serve you, Satan. But I do not, my intention, as the Lord knows my heart today, is not to exalt Satan. I do not want to spend a lot of time on him. What I do want to do is show you how he keeps coming and show you how the logic that he applies to your carnal reason, to your carnal logic. And it all starts to make sense. You start to, you know, who is it that I trust? And how can I rebel against this king? There's 185,000. We are fenced in. You have to understand this. They're surrounded. You're going to read some very graphic things here in a moment. That's where we're brought to. Helplessness. To see the direness of the situation. This is what we are if we serve Satan. This is what this is what we are if we walk that way. What are we without Christ? We're going to see this, Lord willing. You know, down to 22 with me. But if you say unto me, we trust in the Lord our God, is not that he whose high places and whose altars Hezekiah has taken away? Remember? Well, we didn't read that one, but back in verse 4 it said he broke down the high places. They had many places in Judah that they went for sacrifice. Some of them would go to those places to sacrifice unto the Lord God. He says, why are you following this man? He broke down all of those places that you deemed to be the one that you sacrificed unto your God. Uh-oh. What kind of logic are we having now? Now he comes to us with our religious duties. Now he comes to us and he says, well, didn't you pray? I mean, didn't you do this? Don't you go to church? Don't you read your Bible? Don't you do all of those things? But you say unto me, we trust in the Lord our God. Is not that He whose high places and whose altars Hezekiah has taken away and has said to Judah and Jerusalem, ye shall worship before this altar in Jerusalem? What is He doing? He is trying to persuade the people not to follow Hezekiah. And at the same time, to persuade Hezekiah. Because this is being shouted out as they're outside the walls. All the people are on, not all the people, but most of the people are on the walls. And they're looking down, and this one is shouting these blasphemous things against their king. And is that not what Satan does? Now, I hope and I pray that in your life, in your walk with the Lord, you can tell the difference. That you can tell what Satan's word is. Oh, sometimes it's hard. Because of these next couple of verses here, he comes not in a thunderous. He doesn't come with words that they're smooth words. He comes with what appeals to the flesh. He comes with what appeals to our eyes and the lust of the eyes. Now, therefore, I pray, give pledges to my Lord, the king of Assyria, and I will deliver thee 2,000 horses if thou be able on thy part to set riders upon them. You know what? If you follow me, I'll give you strength. Now, by now, you should start to be thinking about the temptation of Christ. Should be resonating in your mind. My Lord was tempted this way. My Lord was tempted with the riches. My Lord was tempted with bread when He hungered for 40 days. My Lord was tempted and taken up on the pinnacle and said, all this could be yours. And yet He's tempted without sin. And how was that? He stood in the truth. He stood in the truth that He knew. He stood up against Satan, armored against Satan. I'll make you strong if you just follow me. Now down to 25. And this is the worst attack of Satan. This is the one we have to be the most fearful of. Am I now come up without the Lord? Do you hear what he's saying? The Lord has sent me. Your Lord? Your Lord that you say that you pay tribute to, your Lord that you follow, He has sent me. He comes as an angel of light. Now I come up, am I now come up without the Lord against this place to destroy it? The Lord said to me, go up against this land and destroy it. Now he's transformed himself, not to tell you who he is. Now he's going to pray upon you with the Word of God. And we saw that in the second temptation of Christ, didn't we? Throw yourself down, because it's written that those who that they won't let your foot even hit the stones. You won't. No. I'm going to quote what David said. Dear ones, this is when it's the battle is in the very. This is the extreme heat of the battle. Have you come to a point in your life that you're faced with some big trial in your life or big decision that needs to be made? And immediately you say, you know what? I know a passage I'm going to go to. I know what, but see, you know what? And you say, well, that's good, isn't it? We come with our own, we read the situation. We look at our carnal reasoning of it. And then we say, you know what? God spoke about this, and I'm going to go and I'm going to justify my actions with what the Word of God says. Can you do that? I've done it many times. And you know, at the end of every one of them, I was shown it was another spirit that led me there. Being exercised by this other spirit, is the most low time in the life of a child of God. Talk about shame. You talk about guilt. Because when you see the cross, when the Lord does show you the cross, He shows you the ultimate price that was paid for that very sin. And it makes you mourn. But praise be to God, He doesn't leave us there. Because then He shows us the empty tomb. He shows us His victory over these enemies. And Hezekiah now, he hadn't been given this word yet. But I want you to see, Lord willing, you see how Satan's working here. He's relentless. He appeals to the flesh. He appeals to fears. He appeals to your weakness. What is it that you have confidence in? He appeals to your spirituality. And he says, oh, you're a spiritual person? Well, the Lord has sent me here. And he transforms himself as an angel of light. And then all of a sudden, this is why that portion of Scripture is so important, to try the spirits. There's an S on that. Try the spirits. Because there's such a prevalence of false spirits in this world. This one really hits home. Because he said he'd come in the name of the Lord. That had to be kind of shocking to the people there in Israel. You said what? You're coming in the name of my Lord? I mean, that's different. A while ago, you were coming in the name of the king of Assyria. But now you're coming in, my Lord sent you? Now look at the immediate response of those that he's speaking to. Eliakim and Hilkiah and Shebna and Joah and Rabshakeh, they said, speak, I pray thee, unto thy servants in the Syrian language. Change your language, please. Because all the people are hearing this. We don't want them to follow you now. So can you talk to us in your tongue? Because we understand it. Talk not with us in the Jews' language in the ears of the people that are on the wall. But listen to what Rabshakeh said. But Rabshakeh said unto them, has my master sent me to thy master and to thee to speak these words? You see the power he comes in? And then I want you to see the direness of the situation. Hath he not sent me to the men which sit on the wall? And you can read the rest of that verse. Basically, he's saying that you will eat your own waste. And you will drink your own waste. Do you see what we have? You are hemmed in. There is nowhere, there's no salvation for you. And Satan's coming even stronger now. And he's coming and he's tightening down the screws now. And he's appealing to what? He's appealing to your sight. He's appealing to what you see, because the just live by faith, which is not by sight. But yet, we look in sight, and sight comes and it fears us. Oh my gosh, this is true. I'm falling down. I'm doing all this stuff. Oh, I'm hemmed in on every side. And not only am I hemmed in, but I have the worst. If I don't give in to this, it's the direst of consequences. If I don't give in to Satan, if I don't walk and just, if I just placate him this one time, it'll all be better. This is the fierceness of how he comes to the child of God. Then Rabshakeh stood and cried with a loud voice in the Jews' language. He wanted to make sure he spoke the words that they understood. He wanted to make sure that they saw a likeness in him. Oh, he speaks our language. And dear ones, because of our fallen nature, Satan speaks our language. The language of the flesh. See, there's something for him to commune with in us. And that's the old man. And he spake, saying, hear the word of the great king, the king of Assyria. Thus saith the king. He's not done. Let not Hezekiah deceive you, for he shall not be able to deliver you out of his hand. He won't. Don't let Hezekiah lead you. Don't listen to Hezekiah. Look at your situation. I've already took the 10 tribes off. I've taken all of the cities around you. You're nothing before me. Now follow me. And if Hezekiah is not following me, don't listen to him. Don't let him deceive you. Neither let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord. Well, that's the thing. He can't make them trust in the Lord. Saying, the Lord will surely deliver us, and this city shall not be delivered into the hand of the king of Assyria. So now fear has gripped the child of God. And now we say, oh gosh, we can easily identify Satan. Can't we? I mean, he's coming with fear, and it's torment, and this is easy to identify. Because we know our Lord doesn't come that way. And we know it's only His love that will cast out that fear. And we know that His torment, that the Lord doesn't torment us. That the torment that Satan has, that's an easily identifier of Satan. So now we're on our way because now we can identify the enemy. Now he changes clothes again. This is who we fight. This is the power of who we fight. Hearken not to Hezekiah, for thus saith the king of Assyria, make an agreement with me. Come on. Make an agreement with me. Buy a present and come out to me, and then eat ye every man of his own vine. 3 verses after what they were going to eat up there. If you serve me, if you just give in, do you understand what you're going? How you understand our relationship now? If you serve me, if you serve Hezekiah, that's what you're going to eat. You serve me, look what you're going to eat. Well, now he's not so fierce anymore, is he? No. No, he's coming back to that carnal reason again, and we're going, you know, that's looking pretty good. As relentless, this is what I hope you see, how relentless Satan is. And then our the way we reason things, we got him just where we want. Oh, yeah, the Lord's put him under his feet. We got him over here, and he ain't going to touch me. I got everything under control. You say that? Have you been there? Yeah, I have. Make an agreement with me, buy a present, and come out to me, and then eat ye every man of his own vine, and every one of his own fig tree, and drink ye every one the waters of his cistern, until I come and I take you away to a land like your own land, a land of corn and wine, a land of bread and vineyards, a land of olive oil and honey, that ye may live and not die, and hearken not unto Hezekiah when he persuadeth you, saying, the Lord will deliver us. Well, don't listen to that. Has he delivered you yet? You're in the middle of this trial. I keep coming. You're not delivered. Look around you. Have you been delivered? But yet, if you follow me, the wages of sin is not death. The wages is fruit. It's blessings. And then, he's not done still. Because now he appeals to facts. Now he's going to bring you the facts that are in your life. Isn't it true? And this is all true. Hath any of the gods of the nations delivered at all his land out of the hand of the king of Assyria? Have any of these other gods stood up to him? Where are the gods of Hamath and of Arpad? Where are the gods of Sepharvaim, Hena and Iva? Have they delivered Samaria out of my hand? Are they safe? No. Who are they among all the gods of the countries that have delivered their country out of my hand, that the Lord should deliver Jerusalem out of my hand? And then in this whole passage, the most remarkable words are spoken in this next verse. Because I tell you what, knowing my fallen nature, knowing how I want to give up, knowing this, if I was in that situation, I'd listen to him. I'll tell you that. Just as honest as I stand here. I'd sell out Hezekiah. I'd put him on a boat. I'd go. I'd look. I'd say, I'm going to save my family. I'm going to save whatever I have. And I'm going to do it. And I'm going to follow you. That's what I'd do left to myself. But the people held their peace. How? How could the people in this immense pressure, in this life and death situation, how can they hold their peace? It's by grace alone, dear ones. It's by grace alone. And we're kept by the power of our Lord. And they answered him not a word, for the king's commandment, the Lord Jesus Christ's commandment, said, answer him not. See, that's how we're kept. In the moment of the most intense, all the words are coming to us. Oh, you're crazy. You need to give in. You need to do this. You need to do. And Satan turns it up, and he turns it up, and he turns it up. And I'm going to tell you something. If grace isn't there, you'll lose that battle. Millions do. But grace preserves. Grace and the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then we end this chapter with them coming back to tell Hezekiah now what was said. Hezekiah, you know the one that ripped off all the gold and tried to buy Satan? What's he going to do now? And it came to pass when King Hezekiah heard it that he rent his clothes and he covered himself with sackcloth and he went into the house of the Lord. Much different. Much different. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. That's what Peter said. Will you not follow me also, the Lord said? Where will we go? And when we come to this, when the heaven-born soul is poured out and all of this anger and all of Satan's attacks come down upon it, where does one preserved by grace go? He goes to his Lord. And he throws himself upon him. And he mourns. And he went to the house of the Lord. And then he sent Eliakim, which was over the household, and Shebna the scribe, and the elders and the priests covered with sackcloth, to Isaiah the prophet. Isaiah lived there at that time. And Hezekiah knew that Isaiah was a prophet of God. Oh, go to Hezekiah, go to Isaiah and see what he says about this, because listen to this message. And they said unto him, thus saith Hezekiah, this day is a day of trouble. Dear ones, every day of our life is a day of trouble because of these enemies. Every day must be lived upon Christ in His armor, with His mind, with His life, in Him. Because of every day is a day of trouble. The assaults are there every day. It's a day of trouble and a day of rebuke and a day of blasphemy. But listen to what Hezekiah says. For the children are come to the birth and there's not strength to bring forth. We have no strength, Isaiah. I want you to understand something. I'm a king and I have a people under me. But you know what? This assault, I have no strength. And Hezekiah sees the enemy stronger than him. And you have to see that enemy stronger than you. Because if you don't, you're going to fight him in your own strength every time. And you'll lose. If the scriptures are true. What kind of words are these three? It may be, verse 4. It may be the Lord thy God will hear. What is that, dear ones? It's hope. It's hope. That's what the Lord gives His people. In the moment, and they have hope. He sends the Word down to their soul. He sends the love of Christ down to their soul and preserves them in that hour with hope. It may be the Lord thy God will hear all the words of Rabshakeh, whom the king of Assyria, his master, has sent to reproach the living God, and will reprove the words which the Lord thy God hath heard. Wherefore, lift up thy prayer for the remnant that are left. This is what he told the people to tell Isaiah. So the servants of King Hezekiah came to Isaiah. Notice there's no exchange of words here. There's no exchange of words. There's no exchange of what the situation is. But the Lord had already spoken to Isaiah. The Lord spoke to Isaiah and he said, "You say unto them," and Isaiah said unto them, "Thus shall ye say to your master." Go back and tell Hezekiah this. "Thus saith the Lord, be not afraid." And that's what the Holy Spirit says to the child of God today. Be not afraid. Be of good cheer. For it's I who've overcome the world. Be of great comfort. For I've sent you the Comforter. Be not afraid of the words which thou hast heard, with which the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. Behold, now I want you to pay attention to this verse, because it's so... If I asked everyone in this room what the end of Satan is, you would be able to tell me. You'd be able to tell me he'd be thrown into the lake of fire. You'd be able to tell me that Christ has conquered him. You'd be able to tell me that his life and all that he is will have an end. His reign will have an end. And that's what God gave Hezekiah. "Behold, I will send a blast upon him, and he shall hear a rumor, and shall return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. I am going to deliver him. He will die. My decree is that this one that antagonizes you will never antagonize you again." And we know that, don't we? In our heart of hearts, and what we've read in the Scriptures, as the Spirit said to you, that you're alive in Christ and that He has the words of eternal life and that none can pluck Him out of His hand? None? That you're safe and secure and accepted in the Beloved? Do you know that? So now Hezekiah knows that. We think everything's good, right? No more from Satan. So Rabshakeh returned and he found the king of Assyria warring against Libnah, for he had heard that he was departed from Lachish. And when he heard say of Tirhaka, king of Ethiopia, he heard a rumor. He heard a rumor of war. "King of Ethiopia, behold, he has sent out to fight against thee." He sent messengers again to Hezekiah, even though there was a rumor. Even though they refocused their attention on another enemy, Sennacherib said, "I'm not done with you, Hezekiah. I've got some more words for you." But remember what Hezekiah now has. He's been given the understanding that he'll be destroyed, that his enemy will be destroyed. "Thus shall ye speak to Hezekiah, king of Judah, saying, let not thy God in whom thou trustest deceive thee." See, isn't that what Satan says? I'm not the deceiver. He is. "Let not thy God in whom thou trustest deceive thee, saying, Jerusalem shall not be delivered into the hand of the king of Assyria. Behold, thou hast heard what the kings of Assyria have done to all the lands by destroying them utterly. And shalt thou be delivered? Can't you see? Have the gods of the nations delivered them which my fathers have destroyed, as Gozan and Haran and Rezeph and the children of Eden which were in Thelasar? Where is the king of Hamath? Where is the king of Arpad? And the king of the city of Sephavim, of Hena and of Iva? Where are they again?" He brings up the same thing. This time he says, look again. Look again now. Look again and see with your eyes. How are you going to be delivered? And Hezekiah received the letter of the hand of the messengers, and he read it. And Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord, and what did he do? He
He spread it before the Lord. Dear ones, that's what the heaven-born soul does. Take your assaults of Satan and spread them before the Lord Jesus Christ. And then say, is this true? Is it true, Lord? Lord, this is what Satan says he is. This is who Satan says what he's going to do. This is all the assaults I've taken. That's what he did. He spread it before the Lord. It was personal now. It's between him. Isaiah's not present. It's between him and the Lord, and he brings it to the feet of the Lord again. And Hezekiah prayed, listen to this prayer, before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel, which dwellest between the cherubims, Thou art the God, even Thou alone of all the kingdoms of the earth. Thou hast made heaven and Thou hast made earth. You're sovereign. Lord, I appeal to Your sovereignty. You have made this. You have brought this wicked one into my life. Remember Job? Yeah. Lord, bow down Thine ear and hear. Open, Lord, Thine eyes and see and hear the words of Sennacherib, which He has sent him to reproach the living God. He appeals not for His own self. He doesn't even appeal for the people. He appeals for God's name. Lord, this is what He's saying against You. Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have destroyed the nations and their lands. It's true. They have. And they've cast their gods into the fire, for they were no gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore, they have destroyed them. That's faith in action. It's true. As I look around, He has destroyed everybody. But you know what? They didn't have the God. You are the God. All of them thought they had the God, but look at them. I have the Lord. But the work of men's hands, wood and stone, therefore they have destroyed them. Now therefore, O Lord, our God, I beseech Thee, save Thou us. Cries out for salvation. Because there's no other name given under heaven where man may be saved. Salvation is of the Lord. How many of them had to come to this? And we have to come to that too. We have to be brought there. We have to be ushered in by the Holy Spirit to see it. Then Isaiah comes back. Let me finish 19. Now therefore, O Lord our God, I beseech Thee, save us out of His hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that Thou art the Lord God, even Thou only. For Your glory, Lord. See, the prayers of the saints are for the glory of God. They want the glory of the name of God to ring out in this earth. And when we see judgment in this earth, and when we see it poured out, and when we see the things that the Lord brings about, we glorify His name in it. And we don't stand back, and we don't weep, which we'll see here shortly. We stand and we say, Lord, Thou doest it. And Thy counsel and Thy will is perfect. And this brings glory to my Lord. And glory be His name. Then Isaiah, the son of Amos, sent to Hezekiah, once again, no words, saying, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, That which thou hast prayed to me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria, I have heard. You know why he heard it? Because our Lord is a prayer-answering God. I don't know how many times that exact phrase, you read the life and times of Warburton, that phrase is probably in that book 50 times. Our Lord is a prayer-answering Lord. Our God is a prayer-answering God. Has He been that to you? Does He answer your petitions? I've heard it. Now listen to what the Lord says. This is the word that the Lord has spoken concerning Him. The virgin, the daughter of Zion, has despised thee. That's the people of God. And laughed thee to scorn. The daughter of Jerusalem has shaken her head at thee.
Wow. But look what state they're in. They're in surrounded. They're oppressed. They're right. But church triumphant in the Lord Jesus Christ sees Him as the victor. Sees Him as the conqueror. Sees Him as life and destroying and stepping on the neck of Satan. Whom hast thou reproached and blasphemed? And against whom hast thou exalted thy voice and lifted up thine eyes on high, even against the Holy One of Israel? And Satan will do that. When the Lord walks on this earth, He will lift up Himself against the Holy One of Israel. And Sennacherib, pictured for us as Satan, has done the same. Oh yes, I can stand against him. I can stand against this God. And I'll be victorious. And our God says, really? You've lifted up yourself against the Holy One of Israel? By your messengers thou hast reproached the Lord and hast said, with the multitude of my chariots I am come up to the height of the mountains, to the sides of Lebanon, and will cut down the tall cedar trees thereof and the choice fir trees thereof. I will enter into the lodgings of his borders and into the forest of his Carmel. I have digged and drunk strange waters with the sole of my feet. Have I dried up all the rivers? This is what you say you've done. You're ready. You're sitting there ready to take their land. You're ready to take the cedars of the land. You're ready to take all of this. And you said, you've done it. This is Nebuchadnezzar all over again. But Nebuchadnezzar was led to see that it was God. And it was the Lord. And the Lord says in 25, hast thou not heard long ago? Satan, haven't you heard long ago? Yes, you have. When I threw you out of heaven, my son beheld you as light as you came and was thrown out of heaven. When you were given the sentence that was given to you, have you not heard long ago how I have done it and of ancient times that I have formed it? I've done it before the foundation of the world. Who are you to stand against me? These are the words of our Lord. This is the armor that we armor, the helmet of salvation. It is finished, Lord. You've done it. It's the sword of the Spirit, wielding the Word of God, saying, this is the Lord, saying, this is who He is. It's all the pieces fighting against this enemy. Hast thou not heard long ago how I've done it, and of ancient times that I have formed it? Now have I brought it to pass that thou shouldest be to lay waste fenced cities and to ruinous heaps? I did that. Those fenced cities on the outside that you said you were so mighty in conquering, I did that. Therefore, all their inhabitants were of small power. They were dismayed and confounded. They were as the grass of the field and as the green herb and as the grass on the housetops, as the corn blasted before it grown up. They were nothing. Because they didn't have me. But I know, this is the most precious part. Our Lord knows our enemy better than we'll ever know him. But I know thy abode. And I know when you go out. And I know you're coming in. And I know your rage against me. I know it, Satan. I know when you go out against my children. I know when you come in against my children. I know your rage against my children because of me. I know it. This is the sovereignty of our Lord to rest in. He knows our enemy. Many times in sporting events, teams get caught having the playbook of the other team. Comes out later, well, they won with such ease. It's like they knew our plays. It was true. They cheated. But it ain't cheating with our Lord. Because He's formed all of it. He's created all of it for its day and for His glory. Because thy rage against me and thy tumult is come up into mine ears, therefore I will put my hook in thy nose and my bridle in thy lips, and I will turn thee back by the way which thou camest. That's the only way that Satan is going to flee from us. And that is the Lord puts His hook in His nose and He puts Him and He drives Him far from us. And how is it we do that? How is it we do that? We can't. Well, we're told, well, we've resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Yeah. In what strength? I always love that, you know, they always ask the disciples, you know, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to be saved? And their answer was always, believe. Believe. As if it lied within them to do so. Because Paul tells us that faith is a gift of God. And the Lord has done it. The Lord says, I will put my hook in their nose and my bridle in his lips, and I'll turn him back by the way that he came. That's how he's repelled. See, there's nothing here for us. We can't fight him. We don't have that. Outside of Christ, we're nothing. But with me, you can do all things. And why is that? Because greater is He that is in you than he that's in the world. That little he is Satan. He's in the world. But that big he is the Lord in us. And now to Hezekiah, the Lord's voice turns. He says, this shall be a sign unto thee. Ye shall eat this year such things as grow of themselves. And in the second year, that which springeth of the same. And in the third year, sow ye and reap and plant in vineyards and eat the fruits thereof. Notice the progression. Notice how it's not all given at once. Notice how the Lord strengthens and strengthens and strengthens in Him. Oh, we want it all at first. We'd like to not have these attacks come back. Or we'd not like to have these thoughts come back. But they do. But the Lord gives fruit in the first year, in the second year. The third year. And the remnant that is escaped of the house of Judah shall yet again take root downward on Christ, and bear fruit upward to the glory of the Lord. Upward. They bear fruit. This is how, Hezekiah, this is how you'll know that I have worked this. You'll bear fruit. And the Lord's work always bears fruit in His people. For out of Jerusalem shall go forth a remnant, and they that escape out of the Mount Zion, the zeal of the Lord of hosts shall do this. And we come all the way back to being all of Him. Oh, just when we had such a violent story, a violent account of Satan, but it comes back to all of me. All of the Lord Jesus Christ. For in Him dwells all the fullness of everything. All the blessings, all the graces of His Spirit. To give sovereignly to His children. Therefore, thus saith the Lord concerning the king of Assyria. He shall not come into this city, nor shoot an arrow there, nor come before it with shield, nor cast a bank against it. By the way that he came, by the same shall he return, and shall not come into this city. We're kept. You see that? It's the only way. We're kept by the power of the Lord. We're kept by preserving grace. That's it. And the enemy can't. Our shield is over us and the enemy can't penetrate. They can't. For I will defend this city to save it, for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake. And every child of God who's led out of this fight, out of the battles with Satan, they come to that understanding that, Lord, it was all of you. Lord, you carried me. Lord, you were my chariot that carried through this great trial and this great fight with Satan. And as that happens and the Lord strengthens, you bear fruit. And you know why that's important? Because it's going to come again. And every battle down here on earth shows us how imperfect it is down here. And it weans us from this earth. And it weans us from the earthly mindedness. And we long to be with Him. We long to be with Him who delivers us in that hour and who is faithful every time. And just when we thought we were done, and it came to pass that night, the angel of the Lord, I want you to understand that that is the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not a popular way to look at Him nowadays. Everyone says, oh, He's love, and He is. He's perfect love to His children. But He's perfect justice. And He comes with a sword. And He has set a variance. And for those that are outside of Him, they all have this end. And it came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out and He smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. So Sennacherib saw it, king of Assyria, and he departed, and he returned and dwelt at Nineveh. So Sennacherib saw all of his servants he sent, all of his army, now has been destroyed. And he says, you know what, I can run and I can hide. And that one is stronger than me, but I'm going to run and I'm going to hide back in my country. But what did he tell Hezekiah? He will die. And it came to pass as he was worshiping, oh, the hardness of man, to see the power of God, to see a God that finally he came up against and could not defeat. Did it soften him? No, because it's not of him. It's all of the Lord. So it came to pass as he was worshiping in the house of Nisroch, his god, that Amramelech and Sharezer, his sons, smote him with a sword, and they escaped into the land of Armenia. And there we have the end. As I said, all of this is the beauty of what the Lord left us in the Word and what the Holy Spirit testifies of us to us daily, that this enemy has been defeated. And although he still wanders to and fro, the Lord has won the battle. The Lord has won the war. And there'll be a finality to it. One more thing I want to share with you. It's very strange. I was in the backyard yesterday mowing. And I happened up on a snake. And it put its head up. And it frightened me. But I knew I had a new dog at the house. I'm keeping Paul's dog. And Natalie, she's a good person who likes, a dog who likes to take care of snakes. So there she was. And I tried to get her to come over and she wouldn't come. I tried to pull her by the collar and she sat down and she would not move. So I said, okay, Lord, it's going to be you and me. I picked up my shovel. I went over to the snake. I raised the shovel up in the air. And you know, if any of you have seen me, I get... it's not something I like to do. Brought the shovel down. I killed it. Brought the shovel down again. I killed it. So I got adrenaline pumping and looking at everything. I'm saying, oh, thank you, Lord. But you know what? The snake was already dead. It was already dead. It looked alive to me. But it was already dead. Maybe Natalie had already gotten it. I don't know. It was imperfect. I mean, heads up and everything. But it was dead. Didn't put up a fight at all. And I thought about that as I was preparing for this passage. And the Lord showed me, you know, what we fight against, I've already defeated. And here I am telling the Lord, I'll go. I'll go with, Lord, you've got to go with me. I'll do this with you, Lord. But He'd already done it. That's where our rest is. The Lord's already done. May He impart that to your soul this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, most gracious, holy Lord, glorify Thy name, Lord. Glorify Thy name as it pleases You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.